Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
My name is Nelly, and I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Brisbane, and I'm so glad you could join us here on our live stream. I did want to just encourage you all and thank you so much for joining us. We also would love if you would like to connect with us and connect with what we're doing as a church and see how you can join in on everything that happens. Those of you who are joining us for the first time, we want to welcome you as well. This is who we are. Doesn't matter whether we're in a building worshiping together in our two locations or we're here online like we are right now. I actually wanted to, and this is the reason why we do these sorts of services is for this interaction rather than pre-recording it, because we want to interact with you. And as we're going through our service, please do let us know how we can pray for you in the comments. So that's what this is here for, is that we're a church and there are people, not just myself talking to you through your screen, but there's our prayer team that are watching the comments and would love to pray for you. So please, if there's any specific things that you need prayer for, please let us know how we can pray for you. Also, if you're finding that the things you need prayer for are a bit deeper than putting them in the comments and you need some real prayer of depth, then please let us know by direct messaging on the Every Nation Brisbane Facebook, and we'll be sure to get our prayer team and myself and our team here to pray for you. Anyway, let's get into the Word of God today. My message, as we're in this series called The Antidote, and we believe that Jesus Christ and His cross is the antidote. We're in the second sermon, or the second message, and the title of my message today is Riding Low. Many of you who grew up during the 90s would probably remember that song. Riding low. Anyway, the story that we find ourselves in, because today, if you follow the Christian calendar, you'll know that today is specifically called Palm Sunday, because it marks the Sunday before Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. And so it's called Palm Sunday because this is when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so, as Henry's already read, we've read about that experience. But can you imagine, guys, the juxtaposition of this image that stood out of Jesus, the King of all kings? I mean, Robin was talking about having dinner with the Queen. I mean, Jesus Christ, okay, no offense to any other king or queen out there, but Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. Can I get an amen from somebody in their living room or wherever you're watching this from, right? The King of all kings is riding not on a majestic animal, not on a majestic vehicle, not in a mobile vehicle with all glass surrounding so that everybody can see you. No, Jesus rode in on a donkey, a foal. And what a jarring image that must have been, right? For us to see the King of all kings, the King of the universe, riding in on a donkey. See, in advertising, often when what's talked about is when you want something to stand out, you need to take into regard the surroundings of what you're trying to advertise and make what you advertise stick out amongst its surroundings. And how this must have looked, right? If you see this image of Jesus Christ on a donkey. Let me give you some examples of some billboards that keep this practice in mind of sticking out despite surroundings. Check out this one. Any of you had a headache and it's felt like this before, where the wrecking ball feels like it's pounding on your head? This is an example of a billboard that stands out in its surroundings. What about this one? This one is of paint being poured out on a car park, or of shaving grass. I like this one because I haven't had breakfast and I kind of feel this way right now. I don't know if you've had breakfast or you're having breakfast right now where you are, but this one's probably the most prevalent during our times, especially if you're watching this from a country that has had shortages in the supermarkets of a certain item. These are the sorts of things that are used in advertising to catch your eye and to stand out so you remember them. So again, coming back to this image of the King of all kings riding in on a donkey, how jarring that image must have been. Now let's go to the scriptures again. In Mark chapter 11, we read about Jesus entering into this place called Bethphage. and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Now, we'll get into what that looks like geographically towards the end of this time that we're together, because that's important. But Jesus sends two of his disciples, okay? These disciples, specifically by Mark, are not named. And he says to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt or a donkey tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. That's important. We'll get to that in just a moment. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately. Firstly, let's unpack this place of Bethphage where Jesus enters into. The place Bethphage, the name means in Aramaic, the house of unripe figs. Now, this is important because after Jesus triumphantly enters into Jerusalem, he sees a fig tree that is not bearing figs, and he curses that tree. Now, this is important because we begin to understand the dichotomy between Jesus Christ, who on one hand is entered into a place where there's much celebration from people who don't necessarily have much but coats and leaves to lay at his feet. And then we have the religious who are righteous, at least in their own sight. And then we have the empire of Rome who have all the power at that time. See, this is what's kind of jarring, is this dichotomy between you having poor people who know who Jesus is and you having people who have positioned themselves as righteous but yet don't bear the fruit of understanding that who is coming to save them is this king on a donkey. The passage carries on and says, and they went away and they found a colt, a donkey again, tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. When I think about a king, I often think about someone who is majestic riding on an animal that is majestic, like a horse, like a stallion. I don't necessarily think about Jesus, the King of all kings, riding in on a donkey. Can you understand just the how juxtaposing this image is when Jesus Christ rides into Jerusalem on this animal? Now, catch this. Donkeys throughout the Bible are known as beasts of burden, to carry heavy loads. They're humble, and they are animals that are often linked to, there's a connotation of work when it comes to understanding the role of a donkey in that environment. See, this donkey was carrying Jesus in to help him finish the work of which the Father had sent him to do. The donkey, again, was tied to a door, to a gate. And the reason why it was tied was because it was reserved for Jesus' use. There was no untying of the colt until such a time when it was released to do Jesus' work. Many of us find ourselves in that predicament, right? We want to be used by God, but rather than positioning ourselves in humility and committing ourselves to his work and untying ourselves so that we can join in any other work other than the work of Jesus, we find ourselves missing the point as to why God has us here today. God desires to fulfill his purposes in us if we will remain bound until he releases us. This was also prophesied in the book of Zechariah a few hundred years before Jesus was even born, that Jesus would be the one to ride this donkey into Jerusalem. Here's what it says in Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Zion is the city, the great city of God on the hill. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You see, this is the precursor, the prophecy that was given that Jesus would fulfill in this time. See, in the ancient world, however, donkeys were used for ceremonial purposes. So where horses, the majestic animals, the stallions, right? where horses were symbols of war, donkeys were often symbols of peace and often used to enact treaties. Now, this is important because Jesus is being carried into Jerusalem, where he would eventually be crucified. And in his crucifixion, the ultimate treaty, i.e. the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ, was to be issued. And what would carry him in towards that purpose? A humble donkey. This is the juxtaposition that we find ourselves viewing at this time, is that in humility, in work, it is all finished in the person of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and in his resurrection. Carrying on in Mark 11. Hope you're engaging with this. I'm getting excited just reading, just preaching this right now. They brought the colt to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on it and he sat on it. How many of you would love a life where God finds a place to rest on us, that he carries his purposes out in us? In verse 8, and many spread their cloaks on the road. So the cloaks are what covers you, right? They recognized, okay, the one who really does cover us is riding. And so I'm removing that which has been my source of definition, my source of covering, in order that the one who is exalted be the one that is triumphantly entering into his purposes through me. And they took and spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And they cried out this word. This is a word that Tina sang last week. But this word is Hosanna. Hosanna is a word used in exaltation of God, of lifting him up. Hosanna means saving, rescuing. He's our Savior. In the Hebrew Bible, it is used in verses like Psalm 118, verse 25. It says, talks about how he heals us and how he helps us. And we cry out, save us, we pray. That's the word Hosanna in the Aramaic. So when Jesus rides in and they cry out Hosanna, what they are recognizing is two specific things. Number one, they are recognizing that Jesus Christ is the promised Savior. That's why they would say Hosanna, Son of David, because they recognize the one who has been spoken of and by the rabbis in the synagogues. This is the one who is riding. And I take off everything that has covered me and I put it and lay it at his feet so that he may ride into his purposes for my life and for the lives of those around us. Isn't that a beautiful image? Hosanna means we recognize you as Savior. So when we sing, when we cry out, when we pray Hosanna, we are crying out, recognizing that he is the Savior. But secondarily to that, but definitely linked to that, the prayer definitely is help. Any of you ever prayed that prayer? Like you just get before Jesus and your prayer is just one word. Maybe some of you have prayed that prayer recently, the loss of employment or having income subside, the health of loved ones. Look, we've had the opportunity to pray for people that we know. That this virus is getting real when you start to know people that are contracting the virus and you're believing for healing for them. Many of you know our situation where we've actually lost a family member in the Philippines because of the health. And so our prayer, guys, our prayer right now is Hosanna. Help us, Lord. Help us to see what you're doing. Help us to see that you're still the healer. This does not mean that we stop crying out for healing. Yes, God is sovereign, but we declare that he's the healer. He's not distant from our pain. In fact, he rides humbly into your pain because he walks alongside those who are in pain. And so when we cry out Hosanna, well, there is a recognition that he is the one who saves, but he is also the one we can cry out, help! Help me, Lord. The answer and the solution that we look for is often transactional rather than relational. What do I mean by that? It's looking upon Jesus as somebody who fulfills transactions. My healing is a transaction. My deliverance is a transaction. Rather than operating within the relationship and the beauty and the mystery that is found within the relationship that Jesus Christ brings to us. When he rides as the King of all kings on a peaceful animal, we recognize he is the Prince of Peace, and this is what he gives us. Though we may not understand sometimes what his plan is, it's in times like this that Christianity finds itself as the only place of peace and solace that is offered in the relationship that we can find in God. God uses moments like this. And I'm not saying, listen to me, church, I am not saying that Jesus Christ is the author of coronavirus. He did not make this, but he obviously in his sovereignty has allowed this to happen. And in a moment like this, we can recognize, I have nowhere else to go but to find shelter in the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And the one who rides into Bethphage is also the one who rides into my life in humility. And I can cry out, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Son of David. The traditions of those who have gone before us, the great cloud of witnesses that surround us, I can lean on him and cry out, Hosanna. And he is my great hope. He is my great healer. I don't stop believing for healing, guys. I don't stop believing that God can heal. I don't stop believing that God can deliver us, because he can. But even if he doesn't, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I will still follow him. Because my relationship with God is not transactional. It's deeply founded in the fact that we love because he first loved us. And this is my king on a donkey. I love what Spurgeon says when he unwraps this. It says here of this great king and his strange kingdom. Spurgeon says, strange kingdom this, but brethren, here is something perhaps yet more exceeding wonderful. It was a kingdom without armed force. O prince, where are thy soldiers? Is this thine army, these thousands that attend thee? Where are their swords? They carry branches of palm. Where are their accoutrements? They have almost stripped themselves to pave the way with their garments. Is this thine host? Are these thy battalions? Oh, strange kingdom without an army. Most strange king who wears no sword, but rides along in this midst of his people, conquering and to conquer. Strange kingdom in which there is the palm without the sword, the victory without the battle. Now I'm getting ready to close here, and I just wanted to show you this map. And on this map, you'll see that on the eastern side of the map, I feel like a weatherman. on the eastern side of the map, you'll see the cities of Bethany, and then where Bethphage is, the small town there. It's outside the city walls of Jerusalem because he's about to enter into Jerusalem. Where he is crucified, if you notice to the top left of the picture on the map, you'll see the tomb and the place of the skull where he is eventually crucified. You see the Gardens of Gethsemane out on the east, but then you see where he's brought into the temple courts to be flogged and eventually the cross put upon him, and then he moves into the second quarter and then crucified in the western part of the wall of Jerusalem. This is important, guys, because many of us have heard the tradition that how can people 5 days before his cross say, Hosanna, Son of David, and then on the what we celebrate as Good Friday, cry, crucify him, crucify him. I would venture to say, and if you study this through the lens of biblical scholars and historical scholars, that they're two different people. What you have here on the outskirts of the city are people that aren't as affluent. They're actually poor. These are the ones who are outside of the city, that live outside of the city. Hence the reason why they don't throw anything of opulence, because they don't have anything to give but their cloaks. Literally the shirts off their back, they cast at the feet of the donkey as the donkey brings Jesus into Jerusalem. I would venture to say that it is the humble and the poor and the broken who recognize the Messiah is Jesus, who recognize that this king, the Son of David, is Jesus Christ. It was those who were affluent, those who were in position of self-granted righteousness, those who were the religious, that completely missed the coming of this Messiah. So when he moves from the east to the west, we have two different groups of people actually proclaiming these things. 5 days earlier, it is the poor, the broken, the isolated, the outcasts from the city that are the ones that cry out, Hosanna, Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. Talk about people who recognize his deity, who recognize the purpose of their exaltation of who he is, who recognized Jesus Christ is the king who should be worshipped. It was those who were religious, self-righteous, who totally missed the point and would be the ones within the confines of Jerusalem crying out, crucify him, crucify him. There was not a turning, but recognition of Jesus Christ and his kingship comes in our most broken state, comes from a place of understanding that we need to repent. Repentance means to turn away from sin and turn towards God. Everything inside of us would say, you know what, I'm reliant on my good stuff, doing good deeds, so I'm good. That sort of viewpoint would cry out, crucify him, because we think we've got it all together. We don't need a savior. But when you're in a place of brokenness and you understand the only way that I can walk through life is to worship the one who is the way, truth, and life. And so I put my trust in the one who is God, because I'm poor and lowly in spirit, I should say. And I recognize that those who ascend the hill of worship are those with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Many of you find yourselves in this situation, or you may watch this later, and you find yourself in a state of brokenness. You find yourself in a state of isolation. I'm not just talking about the quarantine physical isolation, but spiritual isolation. God understands and knows your brokenness. You know why? Because Jesus himself had to bear that. And we celebrate that this week as we move into what church traditions call Holy Week, because this is a celebration of the week where Jesus finished the work of which this donkey, this humble animal, took him into Jerusalem to complete. I finish this quote by finishing also what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, every way it was a poor thing. No spangles of gold, no flaunting banners, no blowing of silver trumpets, no pomp, no state. It was poverty's own triumph. Poverty enthroned on poverty's own beast that rides through the streets. Strange kingdom this, brethren. I trust we recognize it. A kingdom in which he that is chief among us, not he that is richest in gold, but he that is richest in faith, a kingdom which depends on no revenue except the revenue of divine grace. Thank you, Lord. A kingdom which bids every man sit down under its shadow with delight, be he rich or be he poor. Our word today is Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Lord, we worship you today. God, we come before you and we cry out, Hosanna in the highest. We recognize that you are the only hope that we have. You are the only savior of the world. We recognize also that you left a place of ultimate riches where the streets are made with gold. And you left that place to bring light into a place of darkness. And so my brothers and sisters who are watching this can also experience the power of your salvation. Even for those of my brothers and sisters who may be watching this and find themselves in a state of brokenness, find themselves in a state of needing the power and the presence of the living God. God, I pray that as we cry out Hosanna, recognizing you're the Savior and recognizing that we need help, God, that you would be quick to come to us. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And whether this is your first time or your first time in a long time to cry out Hosanna, help! In whatever predicament you find yourself in, I especially want to pray for those who are watching this that need to hand their lives over to God. You've tried to live your own life your own way, and you've found yourself in a time like this where God enables us to walk through somewhat of a global wilderness experience, that we can still find the beauty of who God is in that wilderness. My devotions this morning, I read Deuteronomy chapter 1, and it talked about the people of Israel being taken out of Egypt. And it's an 11-day journey from Horeb to Kadesh Barneim, right? Or Kadesh Barneim to Horeb. It's an 11-day journey that took them 40 years. And even at the point of entrance into the promised land, there were still people that would cry out, we want to go back to Egypt. Don't be that sort of person. You know what Egypt brings? Slavery. It brings slavery. There is a humble king who has entered into your history right at this moment. It's no accident you're watching this. It's no accident that God would enable your destiny to collide with this moment, to watch this, to have this moment where he can engage with you and you can receive him as the Savior and the Lord of your life that will help you, help deliver you and bring you out of this. But even as you walk through it, he will hold your hand. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord your God and my God is with me. He's with you right now. So I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the one who saves you, and your Lord, which means he calls the shots, you give him full control, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me. And if you pray this prayer, I'm telling you, your life will never be the same, because it will be in his hands and he will guide you through it. Let's pray. Just pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today in recognition that I am a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. And I recognize today that you saved me. And so I put my hand in your life. I put my life in your hand, sorry. I put my trust in you. Come and have full control. I thank you for your forgiveness, that you would even forgive a sinner like me. And I lay my life at your feet. As I put my life in your control, I recognize that I am no longer my own, but I belong to Jesus now, and you are my God. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, please don't walk this walk alone. I know that we're not able to possibly meet face to face or talk this through face to face. We can talk this through for sure. But we have people as well, and myself, who would love to pray with you, because you can't walk this journey alone. You need people around you. And so I would invite you either to drop us a line on the thread and just say, I prayed that prayer. Thank you for praying that prayer with me. And we have people that would love to connect with you and help you on your journey. Even as we walk through this time of quarantine and out of this time of quarantine into what God has for us on the other end of it, just know that God promises that he'll never leave us or forsake us. Man, he's a good daddy. He's a good father. And he loves you today. So just be encouraged to do that. If you would like more private prayer, go into the message part of our Every Nation Facebook page and let us know how we can pray more specifically for you. But if you've prayed that prayer, guys, don't think you can do it on your own. It's not the way God has designed us to walk. He's designed us to walk as the body of Christ, all connected together. Thank you so much. We're going to enter a time of just reflection, and I have a question that I would love for you to discuss with those people who are, if you're watching this with your life group on Zoom or however, or if you're just with people in your home, I want to invite you to just mull over this question. The question is, are you willing to fully trust in the supreme power and boundless love of God in Jesus? Why or why not? Are you willing to fully trust in the supreme power and boundless love of God in Jesus? Why or why not?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.